Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll take our text from verses 18 through 20, and especially verse 20. The title of the message is simply, Being Thankful. Being thankful or grateful. And that thankfulness, that gratefulness, when it's real, is going to flow out and be demonstrated. You look at somebody that's unhappy and say, why are you unhappy? And you can see on their face they're unhappy. Maybe they're crying. Maybe they're pouting. I'm not unhappy. Well, you should inform your face you're not unhappy. Being thankful will show up in every part of our lives. Being thankful. And it's right here with a verse that we look at all the time, verse 18. We emphasize what Paul emphasizes here. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And we've studied that a lot, that leadership influence of the Spirit of God that we are to be under and moved by. And speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the opposite of let me back up. Being thankful is a heart and a mindset of gratitude and thankfulness for the blessings of God bestowed. In verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. For any child of God can give thanks for all things. We just sang, I will sing of my Redeemer. Child of God can sing from the heart of the Redeemer, of the Lord Jesus Christ that God sent to this earth. And we can demonstrate thankfulness because we recognize as human beings we were undeserving of His salvation. We were undeserving of His love. We were undeserving of His mercy. We were undeserving of His grace. But yet in His love and in His mercy and in His grace, He reaches down and He saves sinners. And that heart then flows out in thankfulness to God. That thankfulness, that gratitude is underscored by the realization, I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I was not entitled to the grace of God. But He gave me grace. I was not entitled to mercy. But He showed me mercy. I was not entitled to His love, but He loved me. And the child of God then can give thanks always for all things unto God. I'll give thanks when I have something to give thanks for. You're alive and you can serve the living Lord. You were able to put your feet on the floor this morning and stand up. And you were able to, the child of God was able to, in his mind, thank God for salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Set this against Romans chapter 1 quickly. Romans chapter 1. We want to read three verses there. I guess four actually, but starting in verse 20. In Romans chapter 1, and we're talking this morning about being thankful, but I want you to notice the mindset of the worldly, the mindset of the world, the mindset of the lost. Verse 20 is where we'll pick it up for context. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, the world. And the unbelievers are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. To go around feeling entitled, to go, and we've got a lot of that in our culture today, to go around feeling indebted, to go around feeling that I deserve more, is the mindset of the lost. Get that. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made in, like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. One more passage to underscore this in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this famous passage that Paul writes to Timothy about what happens in the last days. And we're in the last days. We're in the last days of the last days. The last days, of course, commenced when the Lord was upon this earth. And this last arrangement. Perilous times. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. It is the mark of our time, unthankfulness. I heard an account just recently of someone who it was a birthday or something, and wanted maybe four or five things and got three or four of the five and was really unhappy that they didn't get all five. Just unthankful. And an unthankful spirit will make you miserable. An unthankful spirit, a spirit of never being content, will make you miserable. But I want to show you in the Scriptures, based on our text in Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul reminds us to give thanks for all things. And of course, his passage in Thessalonians, we'll get to that sometime. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Nothing comes to the child of God. Nothing from God comes to the child of God by accident. Now, I'm not talking about personal sin. That we enter into the equation all on our own. Not talking about that. But that which comes from God. And He tells us to give thanks always for all things unto God. Now, I want to set that in the context of, I didn't deserve His mercy, but He extended mercy. I didn't deserve His love, but He extended love. He demonstrated love. And how our hearts then should overflow with thankfulness. But I want to show you, even starting at the garden, how that we were created by God to have a different relationship with God than anything else upon the planet. Go with me back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And I'd like you to notice from the Scriptures God's creative plan, God's creative order. And we know from verses 26 and 27 that God said, let us make man in our image. A dialogue of the Godhead. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And so we find from the first part of verse 26 that there is going to be something about man that was different. He was created on a higher level of consciousness. A dog's a dog's a cat's a cat. They don't know they're dogs and cats, and they think they own the house. But man is created on a higher level of consciousness. Created in the image of God, man is a thinking, rational, moral being. Man has the ability to reflect upon that which God has given him. Man has the ability to ponder and contemplate the blessings of God. Being created in the image of God, being created above all other components of creation. And that self-reflection with a thinking being, rational being, should naturally translate into, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me life. Thank you, Lord, for causing me to have my rational skills that I can ponder God and this awesome universe that He's created." It goes on to say, "Let Him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. That's the way God created. And He's created man to be have the ability for self-reflection, to ponder a higher level of consciousness. And when we ponder, when we delve into contemplating our origins based on Genesis, our relationship to Him, you and I have but one conclusion as we ponder our relationship with Him. I came from Him. He created life upon this earth. And in Adam, He made a living soul. And from Adam created Eve. And from Adam and Eve came the descendants of Adam. And I have life because He said, Randy Graber can have life on May 20th. And that life will become manifest May 25th, 1962. The life began sooner than that, but became manifest then. And with a rational thinking person, realizing that everything comes from God, then I realize I'm dependent on Him. Now I want to demonstrate that with a couple of passages. Psalm 104. Today's really going to be the introduction, but I believe that this thought can transform a life and a mindset as we contemplate, as we ponder what Paul says, that we are to be thankful. And I got to thinking about that, how that was a command, and the Lord's brought me to these thoughts. But I'm thinking on dependence. Psalm 104:29. Psalm 104 and verse 29, "Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled." And in the scriptures, His face to shine upon you is blessing, and thou hidest thy face, that withdrawal of blessings. and they're troubled. Now notice this next part. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Every person in this room is dependent upon God for their very breath. Now the child of God, with the Spirit of God living within, reflects upon that maybe more than some. And what begins to well up in him is a thankful heart. God has given me life. God has preserved my life to this day. God has given me breath. God removes that breath. Verse 29, and they die. And of course, the Bible tells us that at that point of death, then we stand before our Maker. And so the child of God thanks God for the breath, for the life. The child of God realizes that he didn't deserve it, but he's, by the blessing of God, got breath and life. But the child of God is doubly thankful because the Lord saved him. He's a child of God. And I know that when he removes my breath and this body lays down in death and returns to dust, I will be in his presence. And so on that basis, I can begin to develop a thankful heart. He's given me life. And by the way, it's a command of God. Give thanks for all things. And as I thought on our relationship with God, and I began to think on our dependence upon His blessing, a blessing that I'm not deserving of, the thankfulness just wells up even more. Let me illustrate how this can reset your life. We've had just a phenomenal couple of days with all the family around. And just to be so thankful to have everybody around, hearts overflowing with thankfulness to the Lord for allowing this to take place. And so you get in the car and you go and you turn the key and it, rah, rah, and you call Jordan, right? You just, the car's broken again. But you don't care. Because I don't need it that bad. I was just going to go to the store and get a gallon of milk. I'll take the other car, which God's blessed me with, and I'll go to the store. But my heart's overflowing with family. I don't care that the battery's dead in that one. It'll reset your thinking. If God will bless you with the ability to obey His command, to give thanks for everything. And we won't be snarly. We won't be sour. We'll see this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And be thankful. That's what he said. And so I began to develop this thought, or the Lord began to develop it. I mean, this is not a direction I intended to chase. I was just thinking about being thankful. I was just thinking about how thankful I was. But the Lord began to connect some dots, and that thankfulness is multiplied as I realize I'm unworthy of His blessing. I'm unworthy of His next breath. As I thought on the dependence, the Lord brought to my mind His model prayer, where He said, "Give unto us this day our daily bread." And God's blessed us with our necessities, and far beyond our necessities, for which we are to be thankful. Jump back to James with me, if you would. James chapter 4. And I want you to notice with me verses 13 and 15. 13 through 15. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Go into the big city and I'm going to sell lots of stuff and I'm going to get lots of money. But he said, now think about this. Verse 14, you don't know what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. We boast in our self-dependence. We boast in our being self-made people. Don't need the Lord even. I built that. Well, you didn't have the breath in your body in and of yourself to do anything. And that kind of self-boasting is evil. And I'm still making the point, I'm still underscoring the point that this command of God to be thankful for all things is set against the backdrop of our unworthiness to receive any of those blessings and set against the backdrop of I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. And I'm dependent upon Him. If He pulls His breath back, I return to the dust. If He says, I'm not going to go into the city for a year and buy and sell and get gain, I'm not going to go into the city for a year and buy and sell and get gain. I am dependent upon Him. The Lord interacted with someone during His personal ministry or made the illustration of a rich man that had all of his barns full and he had more than he could house. And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down all my barns and I'll build bigger barns. And then I'll say, soul, everything's good. I got enough for everything. I got enough for the rest of my life. And the Lord uses the illustration, thou fool. That's the mindset of the world. Tonight, you will stand before God. And whose will all of this stuff be? See, he lived not realizing his dependence upon God. But man has been created to a relationship and an ability to ponder and reflect. I'm blessed. God gave me this breath. God gave me this life. God gave me this opportunity to serve Him. For the child of God, God saved my soul. God gave me an instruction manual to tell me how to serve Him. I'm blessed. The most famous psalm, Psalm 23, is a depiction of a joyful sheep. Just a joyful lamb. He just had... The Lord is my shepherd. And you can read the 23rd Psalm and you can hear the thankfulness in every verse. You can hear the gratitude in every verse. Let's go back there. The 23rd Psalm. Give thanks, our text says, unto God. Give thanks always for all things unto God. And we know from Romans chapter 8, for example, that all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His plan, according to His will. And the 23rd Psalm, oh, you're all there and I'm not. The 23rd Psalm is a living description of that one who knows the Lord is my shepherd. And you can tell he's thankful for that. David demonstrates that he's thankful for that. Now, David's doing what I pointed out to you in Genesis chapter 1, that man has been created with the capacity to do, that only man has been created with this capacity, to reflect upon in a higher rational ability my relationship with the Lord. Our fun little cats know where their meals come from. They know when their meals come. Or they know when they expect them anyway. And I walk in the door at the end of the day, at the end of my work day, and I come in the house, and I don't care where they are. They're right there in front of the food bowl going, you know, and they're ready. They know they're dependent upon me. But on a much higher level of consciousness, an individual can reflect upon, I'm dependent upon God. But I'm dependent upon Him. And I can reflect upon the idea, I didn't deserve it. He gives me this daily bread, I didn't deserve that. He gives me the next heartbeat, I didn't deserve that. He gives me the blessings of life that I can't even count, and I recognize, I didn't earn that. I'm not entitled to that. So our dependence is a dependence that we can ponder about, reflect upon, and consciously, and in David's case, we'll see joyfully acknowledge. The Lord is my shepherd, not somebody else. Not that shepherd over there, not that shepherd over there. I've seen how they run their flocks around. It's not good. The Lord is my shepherd, and I'm glad. And I'm going to describe to you, David says, why I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd. Now, because the Lord is my shepherd. Now, David's doing something that only humans can do. He's contemplating on his relationship with God. And he's going to show us his joyful dependence on God. That joyful dependence set against the concept, I didn't deserve any of this. And when I'm receiving abundant blessings from God, and I know I didn't deserve it, my heart overflows with joy and gratefulness. But if I think, oh, I deserve more, then I'm sour. And when I'm sour, I make my wife sour. And then we can make a whole room full of people sour. But if joy is flowing out of the heart because, look, the Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, I shall not want. There's not one thing I will lack in. I'm dependent on Him and I'm glad. I'm dependent on Him and I'm okay with that. And then he takes the next few verses and he begins to elaborate. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, I've seen that shepherd over there. He's a lazy bum. And he takes the flock over to the green pasture, and it's too much work to go to the next one over, so he lets them nibble that one dry and brown, and there's no grass left. And it's nothing but mud. But the shepherd doesn't really want to go anywhere because it's hot and he's lazy. And I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We'll nibble around here a little bit. And when we start to get this area here nibbled down a little too much, he'll take us to the next one. It's a little more work, but the shepherd does it because he loves us. And he's providing for us. And he takes me to the green pastures. And not only that, he leadeth me beside the still waters. I'm not worried about getting caught up in a crazy fast current, because he takes me beside the still waters. And some even believe that that has a reference to the morning dew on the grass. I mean, it doesn't get any more still than the morning dew on the grass. And takes me there. It's a little more work. You got to get up early. And you got to start moving them along. But the Lord is my shepherd. And I'm dependent on Him and I'm loving it. And the heart is overflowing with gratitude. And when the heart overflows with gratitude, everything else in our lives look a little brighter. Everything else in our lives fall into better focus and priority. A dead battery on my car, I'll deal with that later. Right now, I'm enjoying this. And so the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me. And now he's thankful for this. You can hear it in his writing. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He knows how to provide the best for me. And he does. And he makes me go in that direction. He restoreth my soul. Your soul ever need restoring? You ever get down? You ever get weary? You ever get to the point where it's just tough? He restoreth my soul. And how much of the soul restoration do we need that we brought on our own selves? We wander off and get out on our own and get away from the Lord. And cause ourselves heartaches. And he brings me back. And he deals with that in the next couple of verses. But he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Not only does he provide for me what is best, he leads me in the directions that are going towards the best. And that for his namesake. And all of this just reminds us of something we as human beings can contemplate. Our dependence upon God for our daily provision. You say, I don't need dependence on God for my daily provision. I got a bank full of money. That can be gone in an instant. Nowadays, about all you got to do is get the measles or something. You get something, you got to go to the hospital, and there's $100,000 before you can blink your eyes. He leadeth me. He maketh me. The psalmist is describing his joyful dependence upon God. And he's thankful. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death looms all around. Dangers seem to lurk at every corner. Around every bend of the trail might be a wolf. Around every bend of the trail might be a drop-off that I'll fall into a ravine. Danger seems to be everywhere, and the child of God can contemplate this that the lower animals can't. A human being can contemplate this, and the lower animals can't. I don't think. Now, my cats are highly intelligent. I'm sorry you don't think so, probably, but my cats are highly intelligent. My cat is so highly intelligent that she knows that at 5:30 in the morning, she'll get us up out of bed if she'll start knocking books off the shelf. Smart, right? But she can't, or your pets, or anybody else's, or any other animal, they're not contemplating, wonder what's around that bend. I wonder what tomorrow holds. I wonder, as again, our pets, they sit at the window and they look outside and they ponder what it would be like to be running after that squirrel that they see out there. And we keep them in the house because I don't think it would be long and they'd be dead outside of the house. They're not equipped to be outside. They don't know that. They don't get that. They don't realize, they don't have the capacity to ponder. The road is dangerous. The woods behind the house is dangerous. They don't have the capacity to think on these things. You and I do, and we should. We should ponder our dependence upon God. We should ponder walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know when the phone call comes that says, "I'm sorry to tell you this, but." We don't know as we're driving down the highway and somebody pulls out in front of us. We can ponder those things. We have been created in the image of God. And we ought to be able to ponder the reasons for life. And what is the chief end of man? To honor Him. I have been put upon this earth that I may honor my Maker. How do I do that? How do I live for Him? Well, first of all, you need life. And that comes from Him. Something to be thankful for. You need some health. That comes from Him. Something to be thankful for. And on it can begin to go. Once we begin to ponder these things, and we ought to begin to ponder these things. We've been created with the capacity to do it, but we don't. Or we buy into the humanistic mindset, I am a self-made individual. And I will go into town and I will buy and sell and get gain and whatever, whatever. And James said, no, that's evil. That's self-dependence, that's self-boasting, that's evil. You begin to think on your dependence for God, and you begin to realize how He supplies abundantly in spite of what we deserve, your heart will grow in thankfulness. Your heart will grow in gratitude. And thankfulness and gratitude will change so many things in our outlook. He looks at the valley of the shadow of death, and he fears no evil. Why? The Lord was his shepherd. And he's thankful. And he's dependent upon Him for protection. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I know that even when I am disobedient, You're there to pull me back. You're there to do what it takes to get me walking with You. Thy rod and Thy staff, my shepherd, His presence and His tools comfort me. And He's thankful that He offers comfort and security. Problem is, He offers it. We don't always walk in obedience to His word to avail ourselves to it. Ponder that. Reflect on that. Contemplate on that. He gives us the instructions for life. And He says, walk according to this and you'll find good success. You'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. It's not talking that much about money. But a successful godly life. A life prospering in the things of the Lord. Joshua 1:8. Where this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And we can ponder that. And we ought to ponder it a lot more. And be thankful for Him giving us the instruction manual. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Let me read it all. Yes, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Again, the Lord's his shepherd. He's so thankful. Even in the presence of mine enemies, and by the way, you look in the Hebrew language, this table prepared is a king's feast. This isn't a bite on the run, you know. This isn't a quick nibble as we're running away from trouble. This is a king's banquet table with how many ever courses the king wants in his feast. And that's the table prepared before me in the presence of mine enemies. And he's thankful. He's grateful. The Lord is his shepherd. See, you and I can ponder these things. You and I have been created with a with the ability to realize that. But what's the mark of the time? What did Paul tell Timothy that things will... how things will go in the last days? Unthankful. Unholy. They're not pondering these things. They don't care about these things. Ought not to be our condition. We should ponder these things. This table prepared, he's thankful for it. He's so thankful for it, his cup runneth over. It's more than I can contemplate. It's the blessings of my shepherds being poured out, and my cup can't even hold it all. And he's thankful. He's grateful. And he's pondering this thing, these things, and he's allowing us with him to ponder these things. And this, again, set against the backdrop of what I deserve. And in that backdrop, how my heart overflows, how the heart of the psalmist overflows. This is what God has given me. This is how God has blessed me. And I don't deserve any of it. And I'm so thankful God has blessed me. I'm so thankful God has given me life. I'm so thankful God has given me a measure of health. I'm so thankful that the Lord is my shepherd. I'm so thankful that he didn't leave me to another master. I'm so thankful that he, in verse 2, provides for me the best. His ways are best. We just need to follow them. His thought processes are best. We just need to walk in them. And he's created us with the ability to do it. Above all the other animals, he's created man with the conscious ability to reflect on our Creator. And that what would naturally then flow out of that is a thankfulness and a gratefulness. Except for sin, saying, I wanted this, not that. Well, what did you deserve? Well, when you ponder on what you deserve, you get thankful. You get grateful. If you ponder on it properly. And then after all this life, well, I'm not after it yet. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. No matter what's going on, no matter what direction I'm going, no matter what's happening, goodness is right there. God's goodness is right there. Ponder on that for a little bit. I start to get off the track a little bit, and goodness is over there. The grace of God saying, get back on track. Get over there where it's safe. Walk on the path. And mercy. I'm thankful mercy is right there. I need mercy. I know who I am. I know I need mercy. And they're right there every day. Goodness and mercy are right there every day, pursuing me. Every day of my life, goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Why? The Lord's my shepherd. And goodness and mercy are His best two sheepdogs. They're chasing me. They're pursuing me. They're keeping me right there where the Lord wants me. The only thing that throws a monkey wrench in that is me. And my sin. Clouds everything all up. Gets my thinking wrong. Gets me thinking that I deserve something else. When the Bible tells us He gave me the best. He provides the best. He restores my soul. He protects me through the valley of the shadow of death. He brings me back when I get off the track. And that's just this life. Folks, 5.5 verses are just this life. 5 verses and half of verse 6. That's just talking about this life. The other half of verse 6 is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Be thankful. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever as a child of God. Please understand the importance of obeying the Word of God in this, giving thanks to God always in all things. And how that you and I are created with the ability to do that above every creature on the earth. And that ought to just flow so effortlessly. But sin muddles it up. Self-deserving mindsets muddle it up. Self-directing mindsets muddle it up. I'm going to go into town and I'm going to do this and that and I'm going to get gain. You ought not to think that way, James tells us. So, being thankful, I believe, is something that should flow out of a reflective heart, a heart that's reflecting on God properly. It should flow out of it effortlessly. Gratefulness ought to abound out of our hearts. And when thankfulness and its synonym gratefulness abound out of our hearts, it's going to change our attitudes. It's going to put things in priority. Think about a society where everybody... Now, you can't imagine it because you can't imagine it. Everybody in town... Hey, go into the center of a busy city and look at people. You know, somebody waits 1/2 a second before they hit the gas after the light turns green, and 15 people behind them are going, bah! And all of a sudden, a dozen people are upset. Think of a town, think of a place where everybody that you could lay your eyes on is walking in thankfulness and gratitude to God. And somebody sits there a little bit, pondering on their thankfulness towards God. Light turns green, they don't realize it. The guy behind them don't realize it either because they're thinking on how grateful they are to God. And it just changes everything. It's a silly illustration, but I'm trying to make the point. And back this up to our text verse in Ephesians chapter 5. As he's telling us what we are to be doing, being filled with the Spirit, being speaking to yourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And give thanks always for all things, because nothing has come into your life from God that was an accident. Nothing has come into my life that came from God that was an accident or that was a mistake. Now, we get out of the Lord's will. I'm talking about what comes to us from God. And nothing comes to us from God as an accident or a mistake. So we give thanks always for all things unto God. And we can ponder that. And we can reflect on that as we go next door and eat our lunch. And the wonderful, abundant provisions of God. And we can ponder on that as we enjoy the sunshine. The three sunny days we get a year. We can enjoy it. And say, this is a blessing from God. And we can enjoy a right relationship with the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the only way it's available. Through Christ. That's the only way that the Bible says that one makes it to the Father, that one has access to the Father, is through Christ. But you can be thankful there's one way. And that's through Christ. You can be thankful that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son and provided a way to Him through Christ. Trust Christ today. Enter into the life of the psalmist in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd and I love it. And after this life of perplexities and labor and sometimes heartache and all that goes into the valley of the shadow of death, I'll spend eternity with Him in His house. Trust the Lord and His work upon the cross today. Right now. Let's stand.